All right, welcome, and happy Valentine's Day. Before we get started, let's pray together. God, the Father, thank you so much for who you are. We ask that you would open up our minds and our hearts as we hear from your word today. We wait on you to speak to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, back in high school, my mom loved to challenge me on some things, to push me on some things. And one of the things she used to do is always around relationships and love. And I did the mistake of telling my mom that I liked this girl named Christy. Yes, the Christy, who is my wife now. And I told her this. And so she began to tell me the story about this guy. And I've heard about this guy before, but I didn't realize how legendary he actually was. One of his stories she then told me is like, well, do you know what? This guy I knew in high school, this is back in the 70s. I'm not sure if that was allowable. Like, I don't know what this is. If this is the 70s as opposed to now, if there's a difference, it was easier back then. But what he used to do is he used to run through all the hallways kissing the girls. High school. So when I was talking to my mom, and she's saying, you know what? If you really want to know Christy, you got to do the same. So you got, okay, just pause for a second. You got to think about this. Okay. So if you have a teenage boy or girl, because it works for the girls too, in your household, or if you have had, you're thinking like, what is this woman thinking? Giving him like the license to just keys, just dropping this like Ferrari keys in his hands and saying, all right, go for it. And so this is my mom. And she's like, you know, she's egging me on. She's like, you gotta just do it. So I decided I'd try. So the next day I go into school. And I couldn't do this alone. I had to do this with somebody. So I went to one of my friends and I said, hey, so do you want to do the same with me? And he's like, yeah, okay, I'm in. Like, all right. So here we are. So we're going through the hallways and doing our thing, kissing girls on the cheek, okay? So totally biblical. And so we're going through this thing, and we're going through the hallways, and we come down. This is back in Duncan where I grew up, and we came around the English hallway, and we go down at the end of the English hallway. I could see her. I could see Christy, and I knew it was her and her friend. And I'm like, all right, it's game time. And I knew that feeling, that heart is just racing, and you think, okay, this is it. So my friend jumps the gun. He's down the hallway. He's running for her. And so he comes up. He kisses her friend. He kisses Christy. He runs over the side. He turns around and he looks at me. Like, all right. So gulp. And I go in and I kiss her friend on the cheek. I go to her, to Christy. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I went beet red. I'm like, oh no. And I get embarrassed. I chickened out. I just like went past her. And then like later on, she told me like, what were you thinking? Like you had a perfect opportunity. Like what was wrong with me? But I just couldn't do it. I just liked her too much. I guess that's the problem. So the kissing game doesn't work. Because I guess that wasn't the legacy that I didn't get to kiss her. I didn't get to know her that time. That was not happening. I was not to be that much of a legacy as my mom and her friend at high school. That was just not going to be my legacy. But just fast forward a few months, and from using some different tactics, I decided to use some different tactics. And Valentine's Day, with a rose, I asked her to be my girlfriend. She said yes, which is awesome. That was actually 20 years ago today. So this is pretty cool. Yeah. This is great. It was much more embarrassing for her in the last service because she was here, but everything we do builds into our legacy, even if it's kissing girls. We become known for what we do, who we are. It becomes our legacy, whether we know it or not. We are creating a legacy for ourselves every day. So the question is, what do you want to be known for? And what do you want to have as your legacy? When I was a teen, I was not thinking about having a legacy. That was not at all on my radar, just not at all. Obviously, I was too busy trying to kiss Christy. We're in Ephesians, and this is a really great book, and I've really enjoyed this series we've been going in. And I have to admit it, I was in Bible college at Briarcrest, and one of the things I was offered an opportunity to not do writing a paper because I hate writing papers, which is funny because I'm in school right now, but I hate doing it. So one of the things that the teacher offered was say, hey, you know what? You can not do your major paper and you can memorize the book of Ephesians. So I did that, and that was really tough, and I really don't remember much about it now, but at the time, it was really cool. The cool thing about it is that I may not be able to quote Ephesians all together all at once now, but everything, that like any verse that comes up that is from Ephesians, I'm like, hey, I think I know where that is. That's in Ephesians. And you know what? Almost every single time, I think maybe every single time I've heard a verse like that, it actually is like, yeah, I was right. It was Ephesians 2 or Ephesians 3 or Ephesians 5. It's been really, really cool. So before we get into the passage, I've been studying Ephesians a lot, trying to get prepared for this. And one of the things I thought was really interesting is how Paul kind of does this sandwich approach. And he kind of does this thing where the first three chapters, he does encouragement. And then there's this layer of challenge. And that's from about chapter 4 to chapter 6, verse 9. And then at the bottom, he kind of does this more encouraging. So that's like 6, 10 to 24. Yes, you can look that up. It's definitely the case. You'll see, oh, he's actually telling the truth. And that's what he does. Now, when I talk about sandwich deal, I'm not actually saying we're talking about coupons for Subway. This is actually this feeling of like he kind of starts with encouragement, and then he does this challenge, and he does this encouragement again. And I think that's really cool. What it shows with Paul is that he really loves the Ephesian church. He really cared about them. He didn't just want to say, like, wham, here you go. This is the truth. Too bad. You just have to live with it. He says, no, I'm going to ease you into it. I'm going to give you the challenge. And then I want to tell you more about what I feel you need to know. And that's been Paul's approach. He wanted to build them up, not just to go in and rip into them. That's definitely not what he was wanting to do. So if you have a Bible, it looks like this. Or if you have a phone, it's in my pocket. I won't get it out. But if you want to pull up Ephesians 1, go for it. And we're going to read this together. I'm going to read this for you, actually. And we're going to read Ephesians 1, 15 to 17. So that's our passage, our main passage for today. So let's read this. It says in the NIV, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." See, the Ephesians were known. They're commended. They had a legacy. They seemed to have this deep faith, this faith in Lord Jesus that is maybe a connection with the love for all the saints. Do you see that? There's also this outward expression of their faith. Like, it was visible. People saw it. It was noticeable. They must have been doing such a good job of looking after themselves and taking care of themselves, that Paul seemed to see something in them. They were looking after their own church. Now, I think if you look further along in Ephesians, you see that they've got the basics down. They're a good church. They got the basics. They you see some great stuff. There's love and faith. Love and faith. Love and faith keeps on coming up. So, looking ahead, you see that there's this great example of love and faith. In chapter 2, Paul talks about how we are saved. We are saved by grace through faith. Later on, he talks about, like at the end of the book, he's talking about how you are to take up the shield of faith. Okay? That's to extinguish the fiery arrows of the evil one. There's also this challenge to be rooted and established in love. That's another thing that comes up. Another thing is that Paul prays over them that they would have a love that surpasses knowledge, that may be filled and that they may be filled to the fullness of God. They were told to bear one another in love, to speak the truth in love, to live a life of love. Now, these are things that if you're challenging someone, you're not saying this because like they've got it all down, they don't need to hear it. Paul's starting to see that they really need to hear this stuff. That he's saying, you know, they're not the perfect example. They still need to grow in these areas. There's still more the Ephesian church could do. Verse 16, Paul talks about never stopping giving thankful prayers. for the Ephesian church. Let me ask you, when was the last time that you thanked God for something? When was the last time? Maybe it wasn't too long ago that you thanked God. Say, God, thank you for that. But when was the last time you could say you have never stopped praying for it? Or has there been a time when you have stopped? When was the last prayer that you did that was a thankful prayer, or even just a prayer, that's not just a to-do list of saying, oh, okay, God, I'm praying for this, I'm praying for that, I want this, I want that, I hope this can happen, I pray for this, I pray for healing, I pray for that to-do list. Or has it looked more like Paul's prayer? We go on to verse 17, and Paul is intentional about what he's praying for, isn't he? He's very intentional. He's saying, yeah, no, this is what I'm praying for. He keeps praying, knowing that some of them still need the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they may know him better. So there isn't a limit. There's got to be someone in their midst that's still needing that deposit. And we heard about this last week. We haven't arrived yet. There's still people that need to hear. The spirit that Paul's talking about here, it can be confusing because the spirit of wisdom and revelation, like, what does that mean? Paul's just pointing backwards to verse 14 we heard about last week, that there's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. It seems like Paul sees that more of them need that deposit and that that recipe for a great legacy is about to start. Like, what is a great recipe? Why is this a great recipe? Well, because God has given everything we need. Everything we need. It is available to us. In fact, the wording in that verse is talking about how we are fully endowed. Fully endowed means this. It means that we to provide with a permanent fund or source of income. A permanent fund, like just permanently getting the deposit. Like it's there, it's always there, it's rich. It's there for all who have claimed to have Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Paul knew that the Spirit brings insight and discernment when there's times where we don't understand. That we need to know and understand him more fully, and we need to have a personal relationship with him. And it starts with the deposit of the Spirit. We can't fully understand or fully know God unless we make that choice to commit to him. We may pretend to do life and to be trying to follow Christ, but until we have that, we will not understand it all. So let me ask you, after we look at this Ephesians church, we look at some of these qualities, these great things. Think about our church. What legacy is Southridge building? What do you think? What legacy is Southridge building? We've been known for a lot of great things. There's a lot of great things that we've done. Here's a list of them. We've been part of numerous church plants. Numerous. Well before me. I've been here for 3.5 years. Well before me, we've been doing church plants. The two most recent ones are the Journey Church in Willoughby, helping fund and help and guide and send worship leaders and all that stuff to Journey Church to get them started. We've also got Eastside in Abbotsford. We've been helping their church plant as well. We send missions teams all over the world. I don't know if you realize where we've sent them in the past. So we've sent people to North, South, and Central America. There's Africa, Europe, and Asia. That's crazy. Like we've sent teams everywhere. We've had to rely on faith for this building to be built. That's a great thing. We are known for being a generous church. That's another great thing. We are known for caring for families with extraordinary needs. That's another great thing. I think there's something that's very subtle under the surface that you maybe don't realize this, but we are, and some of you actually know this really well, but we are a church for a place for people that are healing from negative church experiences. Numerous people are coming into our midst that just need a break. They need some peace in their lives, and we're able to give that to them. Each of these things that I just mentioned are corporate things. You can see them as like they're a corporate thing. They're like but it's not, it's more than that. It's not just, okay, here's the church and here's what we've done, or here's what Southridge, that name, has done. But each person here has seen that happen, either from the past or maybe even you're part of this legacy that we're creating here. That maybe your first or second time, or you've been here for a little bit, you're being a part of who we are, that each individual makes a difference because we're connected to this bigger legacy. So what legacy are you building? We heard from the Ephesians. We see what they're known for. What legacy are you building? What do you want to be known for? Do you want to be known for what you do? It's part of it. What you think about? Sometimes we don't want to let people know what we think about. Some very dark things that we think about in our minds. How about what we care about most? Or who we care about? What you complain about? Do you want to be known for that? Is it tied to your job title? Your hobbies? Your money? Your love for Christ? Maybe it's tied to that. Maybe your love for other people, just in general, maybe to other believers. What do you want to be known for? Last week, I had someone come up to me, and they were brand new. There's someone introducing someone brand new to me, and they came up and said, "Oh yeah, hey Wes, I want you to meet somebody." So I love meeting new people. And some of you that are new, you're like, "Yep, he's like sought me out." He tries to, as soon as he finds out he's new, that I'm on them real fast. So I was excited. I'll go over to them, and this lady, she just says, "Hey, this is my new friend. Here's his name." So this is Wes, and he's our youth and young, and then she stopped. And then she's like, okay, he's our youth and young adults pastor, but he also does some worship stuff, some music stuff. And then she's like, oh, okay, he also preaches, and he also is involved in community groups as well. And I just watch how she's trying to figure out, like, what I'm known for. And I'm like, yep, that's how I feel about my job sometimes. You know, like, I just feel like there's lots of different things I'm known for. I think that we're all known for different things. You're known for different things. Maybe it's tied to your job title. Maybe it's not. I think another thing that's funny is that, and I've heard from a lot of you, and that's why I think I can share this, because I'm not singling anybody out. So if you feel like I'm singling you out, I am definitely not. Because I've heard this from just numerous people, numerous. Every time I speak, every time I get up here and do a message, I get the same similar response, okay? So I get up, I preach, I go back down, and then about 10 people talk to me, okay? And this is how it goes. It's fairly similar to this. They say, wow, yeah, that was good today. Almost like they didn't know what to say, which probably they didn't know what to say. That's good, yeah. Then they say, you are getting so much better at preaching. Like, yeah, that's great. I'm tempted just to say, hey, so how bad was I? Because, like, if I'm getting better, then, like, you know, whatever. But I really don't want to know, so don't tell me. Although, I've had lots of people today saying, oh, yeah, hey, good job today. Yeah. I wonder if one of my legacies will be like that guy that started preaching and just, like, just got better over time or... Gee, I sure hope he would get better. Or I wonder if people would actually see, I wonder if people start to see the love that I have for seeing their lives transformed by Christ. Have you ever wondered this? If your heart is coming through in your legacy? Have you ever wondered if the legacy that you want is being noticed? Sometimes that's a good question to ask. I think a decent legacy isn't given. It doesn't come easily. You either earn it from what you're doing intentionally or you're unintentionally doing it and that's what you're doing. But your legacy is what you're doing. You're going to be known for something. Revelation 2 talks about the Ephesian church. So if you see what we're doing with Ephesians. We're in Ephesians. We've got Ephesians chapter 1. And I went back to all the way back to the end of the Bible in Revelation. John's talking about the church of Ephesus. So I'm going to just turn there right now if you want to just follow along. It says this. This is chapter 2 in Revelation, verse 2 and 3. I know your deeds, The cool thing is this is red letters. And if you know what red letters mean, these are Jesus' words. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Does it sound like the Ephesians? The Ephesian church is committed to staying true in Christ. It's talking about in Revelation. They were eager to evaluate and be diligent with making sure they're doing things right. They're very particular about this. There's that faith in the Lord and the love for the saints. So you can see that coming out in this Revelation verse. They had built this legacy of what they were known for. This is huge. Yet it looks like in the next part of Revelation, some bad news comes. Revelation 2 verse 4 says this. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen? Repent and do the things you did at first. They were at such a great height that it was noticeable that they were doing so well, that it was noticeable that they had fallen from such a great height. They were doing well. Their legacy was prime. So what happened? I think they were in danger of losing their legacy and they didn't realize it. Something they worked hard at and something they were known for. They lost sight of what was most important, that first love. That first love is Jesus, and we see that in verse 17. That Paul says that they may know him better. There's their warning way back then. It looks like they'd abandoned that love for the sake of sound teaching, I'm guessing. Something to do with apostles. Getting caught up in that thought was of what was important. Like they're losing their love of what's really important to this other stuff that they were just like, oh, but we have to test people and we have to make sure all this teaching has to be correct. Maybe even to the point of possibly a love for each other. They might have even lost that. It's not quite clear enough. But if that's true, it ties it right back to this passage. Sneaky, isn't it? That without knowing it, you can be losing your legacy. You can be losing what you're known for, the good things. Legacies aren't the shoe-in. You can't just say, it's a given. Oh, yeah, hey, I'm going to do this path. We're going to do this. I'm going to do this in my life. We're going to do this as a church, and it's just happening. It's going to all be good. Our legacy, personally, is intertwined with the church. And I don't think we can forget that. The church isn't a building. The church is people. This building isn't the church. We are the church. We are Southridge. Our lives, right now, are Southridge. See, I wonder what Paul would have said if he was going to speak to Southridge. I wonder what if we just took out Ephesus, the church of Ephesus, and we just plopped in Southridgers in there, what would it look like? What would it be? What have we held on to? What is our first love? Have we lost anything? Have we lost? As I prayed and reflected on this, I think Southridge is good at being better as a church. That's something that we really strive for. We want to be better as a church. We want to be loving. We want to be doing our things. Like, we want to do this. We want to be better. But because we know that like when... We know this when we're dissatisfied when something doesn't happen the way we know it. Because we know we want to be better at it. We want to be better. We want to be better at reaching out to people. We want to be better at these things. But I think we need to be careful of our first love. Not saying we've lost it, but I think we need to be careful. We need to be thinking about what is our first love. And if this is Jesus and it's our mission, then what do you think? We need to make sure that we do this. Because nothing is more important than that first love. Paul says it. John says it. You see that in Revelation, when John says in Revelation that they have lost their first love. That's important. To keep from losing, I think we can't do it by ourselves. I mean, of course. We can't do this by ourselves without God. We can't be a church without God. We have to run to God. So we will need to pray. We need to keep praying that God will give us that spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need to keep praying for that. We need to pray that we will know him better. We want to pray that the new people, the people that don't know him, can find that deposit here at our church, in our people. We can't get too preoccupied with the day-to-day things that we do. We can't let that happen. We risk losing our legacy if we don't pray. I've been praying through Southridge Families, Southridge Family email. Some of you may have been subscribed to this email. It's about five families, and every single week, five families are being prayed for in our church, okay? So it's going through the directory and putting these names alphabetically. There's these emails that come out weekly. Some of you pray through that. Some of you don't. If you don't, I encourage you to join me in this. This is one of the things that I do every week. I pray two things. So 90% of you get caught in that, okay? So that's why you're on that list. If you're on a list, it's just because of directory, but it's really cool. You get prayed for. There's two things that I've been personally praying for, not because anyone's told me to, but I've been praying for this. Number one, that you may grow to be more like Jesus. So 3 years of this, okay? The second thing is that I'm reminded that that we need to be praying for unity in our church. So I've been praying these things for 3 years for you, and I'm not saying this to say how good I look, because I'm telling you that through this message today, I've been impacted, because I'm like, wow, like, what am I doing? Am I doing this right? Am I praying? Am I doing these things? And looking at that, like, yeah, I am. But man, is it hard. You know when you look in your inbox and you just see all these things and you're like, okay, what can I delete? Is that you or is that just me? No? Yeah. Because you're just like, yeah, amen. But what can you delete? So that's one of the things that comes up. And, you know, Laura spends a lot of time crafting these emails that come out to us. And you're like, okay, here's the families. Here's some requests from the ministries. And I look at that email and every single week I go, but I'm too busy. Oh, I can just delete that thing and no one will know. No one will know. And I could just, there's going to be five new families next week. Sorry for the times that you may feel like you're getting missed. You're actually not getting missed because I've actually stuck with it and I've prayed every single time. And it's so easy just to say delete and say, nope, I'm just not going to do it, but I haven't. And it's been so hard. What is missing in your life that needs to build into your legacy? Maybe it's an email list of people you can pray for. And how do you see what that helping others in that legacy? Southridge must not forget our first love, right? We must not forget that. We cannot forget what we're all about. We cannot forget what our first love of Jesus. Not saying we've lost. But you know what helps us with this is these three things. Love God, change the world, one life at a time. It's what you walked in underneath when you come through those doors. That's what you see. Love God, change the world, one life at a time. That's our mission. That's what we've always been about. That's our legacy. Loving God, loving Jesus. That's what we're all about. We're known for a lot of things, but this is it. And how do we do that? Well, it's 2020, our vision. We want to be a people that are seen, not just talked about, but seen, reaching out to our neighbors. Reaching outward. We need to be seen as people living God's purpose, loving God and loving others. Doing what we know God wants us to do. And we need to commit to these things knowing that as we do this, we will experience God. Because if we're going to love God, we're going to experience him. If we're going to reach out to our neighbors and see them one to Christ, we're going to experience God. If we're going to see our lives changed and our lives transformed because we're living God's purpose, we will experience God. I don't think it's a coincidence that we're going through Ephesians right now. I was actually told between services that there's another group that's doing Ephesians apart from our Sunday services. I think that's so cool. I don't think I think there's something to do with Ephesians that we need to hear right now. And maybe this is part of it. I'm sure it is part of it. Southridge, you are so rich in Christ. You really are. You are rich. You are endowed. If you feel you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, I don't want you to leave this room just saying, you know what, I don't really understand this stuff. I don't really have this deposit. I don't have this Holy Spirit in me. I don't feel rich. If you don't have that, I don't think you should leave this room until you figure it out. This is God saying to you, man, you know what? I love you, and I want you to feel that. God wants you to draw close to him. He wants you to have that deposit. And for some of us here that are just so, like, just beat up and just feel like life is just so much pressure, just remember that this is like when you have the deposit, that you are full. Everything is of God's is available for you because of that. It's so cool. So don't wait another day. If you haven't, you don't have that eternal hope, stick around. I'll be here at the front for a little bit if you want to come and talk, and I'll pray with you or whatever you want. Or if you want to go pray with somebody else, you don't have to be me, but get it right with God and run to him. You can even claim, if you don't know Jesus, you can claim that prayer thousands of years ago, that those prayers that Paul's thankfully doing all the time, those are for you too, to be given the Holy Spirit. For all of us, let's be faithful to that legacy. Let's really do this. Let's not sit back. When we're on mission, we're saying, love God, change the world. That's not sitting back. One life at a time. Let's also carry our own weight, because a lot of us have our own legacies. And remember, it's all intertwined with our church. That who you are, your life means something to this church right now. And you can be part of that legacy. And let's do that to be worthy of the name of Christ. Because I think we're going to see awesome things happen. We'll start to experience God. Because some of you may be here and you're just feeling like, man, I feel so dry. I feel so dry inside because I'm just not hearing God. I just don't know. Like, am I even doing this right? Change how you look at that and just run to God. Forget about the dryness. Forget about not hearing from God and just run to him. Don't say, oh, okay, well, I just don't know. I'll just try again tomorrow on your own. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to do life alone. He wants you to do this with him. He wants you to run to him and to follow him. He wants your legacy. He wants to be part of your legacy. He wants to be your legacy. So let's not forget. And so let's pray together. Our God and Father, we ask that you will give the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we, Southridge, will know you better. For those who don't know you, I pray that they will take that next step in receiving the Holy Spirit today. May they pray this, God. Lord, I need you. Lord, I want to know you better. Forgive me for those things that I've done wrong. And I choose to follow you for the rest of the days of my life. For those who already have their deposit, I pray that they will be filled with opportunity to use their gifts of who they are for building up your church and seeing your great name lifted high. I pray over us now that you, God, will be known among us. We ask this, God, and we pray for grace and mercy as we are challenged not to lose sight of our first love. Please, God, we want more of you. We want more of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.